You may be seated. If you would, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And today, we are continuing our series on the Christian warrior. And this is part 5. And my subject this morning is praise the battle cry. Praise the battle cry. I'm so thankful for my time in the United States Marine Corps and for my combat experience, because God took my combat experience and he took the word of God and he began to mold and shape me into the man and the warrior that he wanted me to be in the kingdom of God. And so I want to share some principles with you today that the Lord has revealed to me, and they have been such a great blessing in my life and helped me to bless so many people. And I trust the Lord will make an impartation to you today. Ephesians 6 and 10, the Apostle Paul said, "Finally, my brethren," so he's talking to the church, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the strategies of the devil." The devil is a strategist, and he knows how to fight. And you're in a battle, and you better learn how to fight. But look at that verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand." I want you to remember that word "stand," because it's going to come up later. Now, the Apostle Paul lets us know that the believer's life is a constant battle. And we are fighting a warfare, and we are facing a supernatural enemy. And to win in this battle, you've got to have supernatural power. And the battle is very real. And the devil, he goes about as a roaring lion. Your enemy, your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour everybody, so he's got to seek out people that he can devour. He cannot devour you if you understand your position in Christ Jesus. He cannot devour you if you have the sword of the Spirit hidden in your heart so you can whip it out and chop him down in the battles of life. But we're in a warfare, and we are facing a supernatural enemy. The devil, he has power. But let me tell you something. God is all-powerful. The name of Jesus carries power in heaven, earth, and under the earth. And we have a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. And here's the key: according to the power that works in you. God works in your life according to the power that works in you. And that's why these lessons and these sermons and these messages are so important, that you've got to get a hold of the word and what's in the word if you're going to win the battles of life. Now, prayer is a powerful weapon, but praise is also a powerful weapon. Hallelujah. And when you couple prayer and praise, you have an unbeatable combination. Hallelujah. You've seen these boxers. They get up and box, and very rare do they take someone out with one punch. But you got to hit them with combinations, weaken them. See the knees drop a little bit. You see that shoulder sag a little bit. When it goes down, here comes that left hook. Boom, that's it. That power punch takes them out. I'm going to show you how to fight the battle and how to hit the devil with the power punch so you can come forth more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. My subject, praise the battle cry. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your presence and the work you have done here today. How you have already touched hearts and lives, and your miracle working power, Lord, it has been demonstrated here today as burdens were lifted at Calvary, as people, Lord, began to soar up into your presence on wings of praise, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And now, Father, I thank you for the anointing to preach your word and for your people have a listening ear. Holy Spirit, make that impartation. Touch these lips of clay. Let your voice be in my voice today, Lord Jesus. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, many of you are facing battles in life. Some of you're fighting for your family. Some of you're fighting financial difficulties. Some of you're fighting health issues. Some of you, it's depression. Others, it's guilt and shame or some other issue. But no matter what you're going through, you can praise your way out, because praise is a weapon. and praise will fight for you. I said, your praise will fight for you. I learned this principle in 1984, about 9 months after Teresa and I were married. Most of you have heard my story, but many of you haven't. I was praying, and I was praying about a situation I just could not seem to get a breakthrough. I had prayed, I had fasted, I had quoted the word of God, I had bound the devil, I had pleaded the blood of Jesus, but I could not get my breakthrough. And I looked up to heaven, and I said, God, I have done everything I know to do that if it's in this book. Lord, I have done everything except to praise you. And I opened my mouth and I started praising God that things in my life were just the way they were. And the next thing I knew, I was dancing in the spirit. I was speaking in tongues. I was praising God with all my might, and something snapped inside of me and I realized I don't have this problem anymore. God's got it. And I knew that I had made that breakthrough and that my victory was on the way. I had wrestled with that problem for more than 9 months. But in a few moments of time, God moved on the scene because of praise. That was over 34 years ago. And when I discovered the power of praise, I discovered that praise is a weapon. And you need to add it to your arsenal in the battles of life. Now, praise is a powerful weapon. And when praise leads the way, guess what? Victory is on the way. Now, over in the Old Testament, King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, he finds himself in a big jam. The small southern kingdom of Judah, they're not only having to face one nation in battle, but the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Syrians, and others, they are marching against this nation, and they are coming to attack Jerusalem. And the enemy has marched as far as in Gedi, south of Jerusalem, and they are fast approaching the city. Fear grips Jehoshaphat's heart. What do you do when the enemy has completely surrounded you, and the enemy seems so much greater than you and the resources that you have? I want to tell you something. The enemy that you're facing, he doesn't have any resources that are as great as what you've got. Hallelujah. But look at Jehoshaphat. He begins to pray. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. He says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that is coming against us. Neither know what we to do, but our eyes are upon you. And all Judah stood before the Lord with the little ones, their wives and their children. I mean, the whole nation, their families, their little children, all of them, they are being attacked. Look at verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Everybody knew this man was anointed. They knew they needed to listen to what he had to say. Even the king knew that this man was anointed. Verse 15. And he said, hearken, all Judah, all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Say that. The battle is not yours, but God. Look at your neighbor and tell him, the battle is not yours, but God's. Hallelujah. That's one of the greatest verses in the Bible, because we are not fighting flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. And the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. And you just need to be suited up and battle equipped and battle ready at all times. So as you go charging against the enemy, don't wait for him to come. Praise God. Get up every day suited up and say, I'm up and I'm coming to tear your kingdom down in Jesus' name. And I'm bad, because Jesus has made me more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. Don't just fall back and be afraid of him. You have nothing to fear. You have power. You have anointing. You have authority. You have the name. You have the blood. You have all that you ever need to win the battles of life. Hallelujah. See, they prayed. You got to pray. I mean, that is the key to everything right there. Pray. They prayed, and God gave Jehaziel a word of knowledge. He gave them the enemy's plan. Then he gave them the, in that word of knowledge there how they were to fight. I told it last week in Ephesians 6 and 18. You enter into your prayer. Most preachers, they stop with the whole armor there. But it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. Praying so the Spirit can come on you. He's already in you. And give you direction. He'll come on your mind. And he will show you some things that are to come. He'll show you how to fight. He'll show you how to win. He'll show you, but you got to talk to him like they did in prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They prayed, and God gave Jehaziel a word of knowledge. Look at 2 Chronicles 20 and 16. He said, tomorrow, go you down against them, and behold, they come up by the cliff of Zin. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook. Look at this word of knowledge. Before the wilderness of Jeruel. I mean, fact after fact after fact about their enemy. Verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself. Stand ye still. Remember that word I told you to stand? I was riding yesterday and the Lord spoke to me. He said, be still. Be quiet and know that I am God. And as I went about my day, I said, oh God, we're praying. We're looking for great things. We're believing you. And we've been praying and praying and praying, praying. And God spoke to me. He said, stand still and see my salvation. It's on the way. Hallelujah. I mean, revival's on the way. A spiritual awakening is on the way. God is trying to get his church suited up and battle ready so they can win the battles of life and bring others into his kingdom. Amen. Look at this. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear ye not, nor be dismayed. For tomorrow, go out against them. For the Lord will be with you. I said it, don't wait for the enemy to come. Go out and set the captive free. Get about the Father's business. Hallelujah. Go you out against them is the word. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, just like we were doing in this altar this morning. I'm telling you, your victory is on the way if you'll learn this principle. The Bible says that fear had gripped the heart of King Jehoshaphat, and he began to pray. And as he prayed, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. And through that word, God gave King Jehoshaphat a promise that caused faith to enter his heart. His heart was filled with faith because he had heard from God. Now, many times you'll get a word from God, but you still got to hold on to that word because you hadn't gone through the battle yet. Stay with me, okay? Point number one, in your time of trouble, look to God. That's what Jehoshaphat did. He turned to God with his problems. Look at 2 Chronicles 20 and 3 again. And Jehoshaphat feared. He was afraid. He was alarmed. He was shaken by what was coming against him. But look at this. He feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask the Lord. Even all the cities of Judah came to seek the Lord. Everybody got involved. It was a corporate prayer. They began to help one another. They began to pray for one another. They began to lift up one another's burden. Doesn't that sound like what Paul told us to do in the church? Amen. Doesn't that sound like the word of God and what we're supposed to do to help one another? Jehoshaphat's fear of the approaching danger, it caused him to turn to God with prayer and with fasting. He set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast for the entire nation. I wish I had the power to do that. Hallelujah. I'd shut down some things. Amen. He called an assembly of the people to seek the Lord, their God. Jehoshaphat and the entire nation began to cry out to God in prayer. And that's what we must do, church, if we're going to see a spiritual awakening in this nation. We don't just need a revival in our homes. We don't just need a revival in the church. We need a revival that will usher in the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This thing is winding down. And the world, they don't know what's going on, but we know what's going on because we know our God and we know who we are. And they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And we're not going to be surprised by anything because we're praying. We're seeking God and we're praying for families. We're praying for people to come into the kingdom of God. Amen. That's the greatest warfare that you could ever be engaged in, is a warfare for the battle of souls. Jehoshaphat began to seek God. Amen. Now, we're in a war, and the devil is out to destroy everything that you hold dear. I want you to know you are on his hit list. Whether you like it or whether you don't, he is coming out against you. Because Jesus said the thief, and that's what the devil is. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He left Jesus after Jesus defeated him in the wilderness, the Bible says, for a season. Amen. But this thing, it will be a continual battle until you leave planet Earth. We're in a war, and the devil is the enemy. He comes to steal your marriage. He comes to steal your children. He comes to steal your money. He comes to steal your health. He comes to steal your peace. He wants to destroy the entire family, because the family is the fabric of any culture. The first thing God did back in the Garden of Eden was he established a family. And the first thing Jesus did when he showed up on planet Earth, the first miracle he ever performed was he turned the water into wine at Cana of Galilee, showing that God is interested in the family. And if you take and find your position in God and your position in your family, let me tell you, your family will be blessed. And you'll have to, if you do what God says, then God will bless the family. He instituted it and he's watching over it. Hallelujah. The devil is not only out to steal, but he's out to kill. To kill your dreams, to kill your marriage, to kill your joy, to kill your peace. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy everything that you hold dear. But God is bigger than all your problems, and he will bring you out if you will only look to him, trust him, and obey him. Look at what Jehoshaphat did, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon you. He said, oh God, we don't know what to do. We don't have the foggiest idea of how to figure this thing out. Oh God, we just don't know. But our eyes are upon you. Hallelujah. See, fear looks around. Regret looks back. But faith always looks up. And faith says, Lord, our eyes upon you. Like the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. I don't want the devil to see a 6-foot man. I used to say 208 pounds, but I'm down to 180 pounds now. Hallelujah. Been working on it. Amen. I don't want him to see a man like that. I want him to see a giant of a man. I want him to see my spirit man filled with the word of God, suited up. And battle ready. So he knows that when I speak, that I'm speaking in the name of Jesus. And he has to back up. And that's what I want to equip this church to do. That you are suited up. That you're filled up. Praise God. And that you're ready to take on anything that comes your way. And to set the captive free. And usher in the harvest of souls that belongs in the kingdom of God. Somebody, go on and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our God is the God of miracles, and God wants us to develop our faith so we can experience the miraculous. And King Jehoshaphat, guess what? He needed a miracle. But not only him, his children, all the little children, all the families, the entire nation needed a miracle from God. And I'm not going to get in politics right now, but I just feel a mean streak coming on. Hallelujah. Because God exalts righteousness. Sin is a reproach to any nation. And we have left God at the place of fullness of bread. And it's time for the church to get on her knees. You'll never be any taller when you stand on your knees than you will ever be. When the church gets on her knees, praise God once again, things are going to happen. God is going to build his church. Amen. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But guess what? We are workers together. We are tools in the master's hand. And you have an anointing and I have an anointing and you have a position and I have a position. All of us have a position in the kingdom. Amen. And when we find that place and we work together, all of a sudden God begins to move and fight our battles for us. Somebody gonna praise God. He's a miracle working God. So point number one, in your time of trouble, look to God. Point number two, in your time of trouble, listen to God. You got to get still sometimes to listen. Some people, they're so busy, they got so much on their mind, they can't listen. I got a little place I go to, and I go there so I can listen to God. I just have to stop and get all the clutter out of my mind. Everybody else's problem, everything that they're facing, all that this nation and all the committees and stuff I'm on, I just go and I get quiet before God. Jesus had to go and get quiet. He went down by the seashore. He went up into the mountains. He went to the Mount of Olivet. He went there and he went to pray and talk to his Father. And in the battles of life, if you will pray and talk to your Father and listen to what the Spirit says, God will bring you forth and make you more than a conqueror. So point number two, in your time of trouble, listen to God. Jehoshaphat not only had to seek God, but he had to listen. He was in an intense battle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel the prophet. And the prophet got a word from God, and the prophet began to speak a thus saith the Lord. Everybody doesn't have a thus saith the Lord. It's the prophet that's been alone with God. It's the man or the woman that has sought the face of God. And God will give you a thus saith. And it's up to you whether or not you take the thus saith. God can send you the answer. God can send you a word of instruction. But if you don't obey the word, the prophet can't help you. And guess what? God can't help you either. You just got to get in this book and do what the Bible says, and you will be more than a conqueror. Look at this. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, the latter part of that verse. Gehaziel the prophet said, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now look at verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Woo! Set yourself and stand you still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. O church of the living God, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. The Bible says that the battle is the Lord's, so fear not, for the Lord is with you. Sometimes, you know, we look at our problems and we say, God, oh God, can't you see how bad things are? Well, that was Jehoshaphat's problem. He said, oh God, go back and read it. Don't you see the mess I'm in? Can't you see, oh God? Certainly he sees. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect or who is stayed upon him, the heart that obeys him, the heart that believes him. God's eyes are searching for people like that. Everybody doesn't want what you want. Everybody, they're not going to seek God to get it. But my job is to equip you. Hallelujah. See, the battle is the Lord's. God, don't you know? We don't know what to do. God, we're in a mess. But God calmly says, fear not. Only believe. Can you hear that? Fear not. Only believe. That's all God requires. Believe. Believe. Fear not. Only believe. My Lord. See, God is a good God. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power. Say power.
Power.
He's given us a spirit of love. Say love.
Love.
He's given us a spirit of a sound mind. Say a sound mind.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah. You got a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind because you've been lost in the Word and God's been talking to you and the Holy Ghost has given you instruction. And you said, oh God, I've been waiting on that Word. I didn't know what to do, but my eyes have been upon you and I've been listening for you, God. And now you've spoken to me and I'm going forward and I don't have any fear because I know the battle is the Lord's and I'm going to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Go on and praise the Lamb. Hallelujah. You see, I love to preach about the goodness of God. A God who can break the power of drugs. A God who can break the power of addiction. A God who can break the chain of pornography. Amen. A God who can heal the sick. A God who can set the captive free. A God who is big enough to solve all our problems and fill all our needs. And I want to tell you something. The devil never made a chain so strong that it could hold anyone that would call upon the name of Jesus. He holds the keys, and he's given the keys to the church. Hallelujah. So we can win and set the captive free. Go on and praise God for his blessings. Hallelujah. Our God is a good God, and God is on your side. And the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Line the devil up and all his imps. Say, hey, devil, I got authority and I've got power over you. All of your forces, nothing shall by any means hurt me. I'm battle ready, suited up. I got Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. I got on my helmet, Jesus. I got on the breastplate of righteousness, Jesus. I've got loins girded with truth, Jesus. I got my feet shod with the gospel of peace, ready to preach, Jesus. I got the shield of faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've got the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and I can pray in the Holy Ghost. And when the Spirit comes on me, I'm going to get a word from God. Hallelujah. Because he said, if you will call upon me, I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Church, we're in a great warfare. And I want to tell you, everything is up for grabs. And the devil is out to destroy your family, to destroy your spouse, to destroy your children, and to destroy your future. Build your life on the solid bedrock of God's Word, and your future will be bright. Break God's commandments, and you are headed into a realm of darkness. At the entrance of thy word, there is light. I love the word. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. He said, he watches over his word to perform it. Jeremiah the prophet. Hallelujah. Somebody asked me one day, they said, is your name Jeremiah or just Jerry? I said, just Jerry. I said, they didn't think enough of me to name me Jeremiah. Whew, you'll get that one later. Hallelujah. We're in a great warfare, church. Hallelujah. And the devil wants to drag us all to hell. But Paul said, put on the whole armor. Paul said, suit up, get battle ready. Church, we got some mighty weapons. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We've got the blood. We've got the name. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got the authority to reign in life in Christ Jesus. We are kings and priests unto God. We're not some little squirt. We are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And we are to reign in life as kings and priests unto God. And Jesus made all of that possible. Amen. But sometimes we forget the position we have in Christ. Your position means everything. When you are under attack and combat, the enemy knows your position. And they will unleash everything on that position. And then you've got to know your position, because everything is done on maps with grid coordinates. And you got to call 155 howitzers in back from the battalion headquarters. Or you've got to call naval gunfire out of that harbor. You got to call airstrikes out of the air base up there in Da Nang. And if they don't know your position, you're going to get hit by friendly fire. You might not even, you know, nothing come at all. And you're in a mess because you didn't know your position. Position means everything when you're fighting the battles of life. Amen. One of the greatest revelations I ever received was my position in Christ. See, God had a mystery plan. The Bible says if the devils had known this mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What is that mystery, Pastor? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That when you go out suited up, you look like Jesus from head to toe. And all he sees is a light of God coming. Someone fully clad with the whole armor. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look at Colossians 1:27. God wants you to know this. He does not want you to be afraid. This is revelation. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, the church, or the Jews, his church, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, Christ is in you. He's the vine and we are the branches. The life that is in the vine is in the branch. The power that is in the vine is in the branch. The greater one lives in you. It is Christ in you, and you are in Christ. And when you see your oneness with Christ, fear will leave your heart, because you know that the greater one is inside, working on the outside, and whatever you're facing, he's going to win that battle. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you win the battle inside before you ever see a change on the outside. And that's what Jehoshaphat, he knew that enemy was still coming, but he had a word from God, and he was believing God, and he got the whole nation involved. Amen. Who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you means everything. But let me share with you your position in Christ. Just let me remind you. Go with me pretty fast, David. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are you in Christ, who God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he which has established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. You have an anointing from the Holy Ghost, whether you realize it or not. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Galatians 3:26. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Woo! Philippians 3:14. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He's in you and you're in him. Isn't that beautiful? I just gave you 12 scriptures, one after the one, of who you are in Christ Jesus. You ought to feel like a giant ready to go out and whip the whole kingdom of darkness right now, because you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Go on and praise him for his wonderful works to the children of men. And the Bible declares that no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper, and that God always causes us to triumph in Christ. The battle is real, but you're not the victim. You're the victim. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from a victory. I'm a military man. And when we went into Afghanistan, President Bush stood up and said, "We won the battle." And the news commentators, they made fun of him. They didn't understand about warfare. He said, "We won the battle." Well, they did. They hit that enemy so hard they went underground. They were afraid to come out and stand toe-to-toe. Amen. So we left an army over there. It's called an occupying army. And the occupying army, what they do is they enforce the victories that the conquering army has won. Are you with me? Well, Jesus conquered the devil, made a show of him openly, triumphed over him, gave us the keys to the kingdom. He, the conqueror, we are more than conquerors, and we are an occupying army that he has left here to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Somebody ought to get, yeah, that's it, brother. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a standing ovation. Let's take a praise break. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There's a whole lot more in you. And sometimes you might think. Hallelujah. The battle is real. Point number one. In your time of trouble, look to God. Point number two. In your time of trouble, listen to God. Amen. And point number three. Stand to see the salvation of the Lord. You've heard me say it many times. I wish this wasn't in the Bible, but it is. Man that is born of woman is few of days and full of troubles. We're on the devil's turf. We're not home yet. But the Bible says that trouble is going to come. So troubles and storms, they come to us all. But God is bigger than all your problems, and God is bigger than all your need. But do we really believe that when the storms of life begin to beat upon our lives? Do we really believe that God can conquer every fear? Do we believe God enough to take our position in Christ? Do we believe God enough to stand still, to listen, and to see the salvation of the Lord? See, we all grow weary in the battles of life. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because of the refreshings of the Lord. Hallelujah. See, the devil goes about as a roaring lion, and our battle is not with flesh and blood. But if you will pray, God will renew your strength, and God will fight your battle. Now, the word Judah, it means praise. And praise is the battle cry. So here's the key to your victory. Praise is a weapon, but you've got to use it. And I hate to tell some of you this, but you can't think of praise. Remember the gate man at the gate called Beautiful? Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such I have, give I unto thee." And Peter reached down, took him by the hand, and leaped up, went into the temple dancing, shouting, and I praising God. I mean, he was just besides himself. Woo! Look what the Lord has done. Glory to God. Amen. Remember Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail? And at midnight, they began to praise God, and the whole jail cell got saved. Some of it, if you just get a praise in your heart and on your lips, your family might get saved. Maybe that's what God is waiting for. God is waiting for you to get your breakthrough because you trust him enough to praise him before you see the end result. Praise is a weapon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at 2 Chronicles 20:19. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Kohites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel. Israel with a loud voice. See, you can't think of praise. You got to shout it with a loud voice. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established, and believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. Now, look at that. He said, I want you to believe in your God, but I want you to believe the word and act on the word that the prophet brings to you. He said, I'll give you preachers according to my own heart. If you got one of those, praise God, listen to what the Lord has to say. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that said, we should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, woo, do you see that? They began to sing and to praise. The Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, which will come against Judah, and they were all smitten. The battle took place, and the victory was won while Judah was praising God. Jehoshaphat's focus had been on his enemy, but he began to look to God. Then he began to listen to God, and he heard from God. And God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, Judah means praise. So Jehoshaphat, he appointed singers, and he told the people, God is going to fight for us. Jehoshaphat said, I want the singers, I want the choir to go out before the army. I can just hear some of those choir members as they're complaining to King Jehoshaphat. They said, are you crazy, King Jehoshaphat? They have swords and we have songbooks. You can't fight an army with a songbook. But Jehoshaphat sought out those that would be faithful. And he asked, who in this crowd believes God? Who believes that God will fight for us? Who believes that God will deliver us? I want you to go out before the army, and I want you to sing, praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And they continued to sing, and they continued to praise, and the people began to sing, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. And they continued to sing, and they continued to send up praise, even though the battle at that time had not been won. They said, God has given us a word, and we've got confidence, and we're going to come out of this thing. Hallelujah. See, Judah got their eyes off their problem, and they got their eyes on their God. And God sent ambushes against the enemy, and God defeated them. Hallelujah. Let us stand. Praise is a weapon. Praise is the battle cry. So let your praise fight for you, because when praise leads the way, victory is on the way. Hallelujah. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. If you don't know this God, the most important thing that could ever take place in your life, if you're watching by live stream, being saved, if you're here today, is just as easy as ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. Number two, believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose again the third day according to the scriptures. See, believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth, and you shall be saved. And let me add a D. Today is the day of salvation, right. So don't put it off.
Right.
Pastor Ricky.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on. Oh, glory,
glory,
glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah.
Why don't you just send up the white flag,
glory, glory,
and release everything
hallelujah
to God.
Our
release
God,
those sins.
Our God,
release those problems.
Is marching,
release that sickness. Financial difficulty.
Glory,
let God fight for you.
Glory,
send up some praises. Send up some glory. Hallelujah.
Glory,
say, Lord, I'm sending up the white flag.
Hallelujah.
I surrender it all.
Glory.
Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah.